Jesus is our peace. I don't see anyone upstairs. Oh, there is someone there. I just saw a hand. That must be Jeanette. That computer hides her from me. I should have known she's got control of it. Jesus is our peace. And by what I've heard in testimonies and in prayer needs, we definitely need his peace today. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. And Advent means the coming of Christ. That's what Advent is. When we celebrate the Advent season, we are celebrating the coming of Christ. The 4 weeks before Christmas is considered the season of Advent. So last Sunday was the first Sunday of Advent. And theologians and all of these great Bible scholars have set up certain things to preach at each Sunday of Advent. We also have the Advent wreath and the Advent candles. And sometimes I've used those in my evening services and preached the four Sundays of Advent, but I decided not to do that here. But I thought today, yes, the second Sunday of Advent, and it is the Advent of peace, that he came, he brought peace. So that's what we're going to talk about. This first Advent, Jesus born in the manger. And we look for and live for the second Advent when he comes again. The second Advent when he comes again. Of the four Sundays of Advent this year, this is the second, and it's designated to celebrate peace. So as we look at peace today, we need to remember peace means peace between God and people. The healing of the estrangement caused by human evil. If you are born again, you know and are aware of a peace that passes understanding. A peace that only he can give in times when there is no peace. A world of unrest. This is what we're in, a world of unrest. You may wonder how I can preach about peace in a world full of anything but peace. So often we think of peace as simply not being at war. Our country, this country, is at war even now as we fight terrorism. America is not only anything but peaceful because of terrorists. We're even now a people torn with resentment and hate because a white policeman killed a black person. Policemen and police women are being killed in retaliation. And the choice of a new president is not being accepted by many. And our nation is being ripped apart by so many different factions. This is not what we think of as peace. And it's into this upheaval and this torment that we usher in the Christmas season, the time of glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to man, at a time when we don't see it, at a time when we see just the opposite all around us, we can claim Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And we, in our lives, in our hearts, in our families, in our homes, can have peace. We're going to talk about Joseph and Mary. They were forced to make a trip. The world Jesus was born into was also a place of unrest and evil. For them, it was just as bad as we think our world is today. Herod had been made ruler of the Jews by Rome. He was a wicked tyrant. The Jews were very troublesome people, and There was just unrest all around. They longed for the Messiah to come, but they had preconceived ideas at how this should happen. Into their world of chaos and confusion, a baby was born. Of course, people would think, what good is a baby going to do? But this was not just any baby. Luke 2, 1 through 5. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. There was nothing peaceful for Joseph and Mary to be forced to travel this great distance to pay their taxes. We all have a pretty good idea of what it feels like at tax time. It is not fun. It is not anything that we look forward to, time to pay taxes. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of unrest that comes just for the fact of it's tax time. Got to be calculated, got to be paid, got to find that money if you're going to have to pay extra. And sometimes we end up having to pay extra we weren't planning on. Joseph had all of that strain, and the strain of traveling with a very pregnant wife. Mary had the strain of taking this trip 9 months pregnant. I think it had to be very peaceful along that journey. You know, she really didn't have to go. Joseph could have taken care of this. You think, well, why in the world would she go? And why would he let her go if he could have done it? Folks, prophecy had to be fulfilled. Many would say it was the dictates of Roman rule that forced this upon them. But we know it was all a part of God's plan to have them in Bethlehem for the baby's birth. We're not told if they went together because they knew their miracle baby needed to be born in Bethlehem, or because the Holy Spirit was just leading them, making them feel that unction they had to do that. They, both Mary and Joseph, knew Old Testament scriptures. The Jewish people were well informed of Jewish scriptures. Micah 5:2. And they knew this. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. How fitting that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. And Jesus is our bread. John 6, 31 through 35. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So even today, as we celebrate communion, we partake of the bread of life, a symbol of his body, Jesus, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. He is the bread of life. Believing in him brings peace. We no longer hunger or thirst. In him we can be filled. The Magi came believing the prophecy that a king was to be born. And when Herod asked the chief priests and the scribes and the people in Jerusalem where their king was to be born, they all knew the prophecy. They all knew very well. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. They knew the prophecy. They believed it enough to tell the Magi that's where he's going to be born. But they did not believe it enough to go there. It said all of Jerusalem knew that the Magi came and were looking for this king to be born in Bethlehem. The scribes and Pharisees said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. But they did not go there. And folks, most all of this world knows the prophecy. Jesus Christ is coming again. And many in this world, though they will even admit that they know that prophecy, do not look for him. Do not prepare their hearts for him. This is what Advent's about, is preparing our hearts. So when we celebrate Christmas, our hearts are prepared to celebrate him. You know, many of us who are Christians do not even really believe that Jesus is our peace. We have to claim it. When things are all askew, upsetting in our lives, we need to grasp his peace. Joseph and Mary must have found it hard to find peace in all of that trip and the birth of that baby. Yet he was the Prince of Peace. This world has no peace, but Jesus has overcome the world. And for Christians, we can have peace. And so, into this world of hate and hostility comes the birth of Jesus. The shepherds believe. They believed it and they came. I don't get to see this, but we didn't get the lights shut off. So you're not seeing this. Can anyone shut these lights off up here? If the tree goes out, that's okay. I'm sorry. I should have turned around and looked at it. It does help some. Luke 2, 7 through 14. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. When the angel of the Lord came on the scene, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. I love the way King James says, they were so afraid. They had to be really, really afraid. You know, that initial feeling that you get at times when the presence of the Lord begins to move on you and your heart begins to pound. Some of you look at me as if you know what I'm talking about. Some of you look at me as if maybe you don't. And I pray you do. Because it's a wonderful thing as you yield yourself and you accept his presence and worship him, there comes a peace with his presence. And it's okay. I love the euphoria of that initial heart beating and excitement. And then I love that peace that comes as you just yield yourself to him. Let him have you. So as they heard the message, tidings of great joy, a Savior is born today, the multitude of angels rejoicing in the heavens, the shepherds agreed they should go and see this thing that has come to pass. The promise of the Savior, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Jesus brought us peace because he destroyed the wall of sin that separated us from God. You know, without God, there is no peace in any person's life. They might find happiness, they might even find joy, they might find riches. They do not find peace until they know him. Jesus also has set us at one with Jewish brothers and sisters. The Bible is very clear that his coming did that, gave peace, set us at one again. Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And if you go back, you see that Paul is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles and how separated we were from one another because they were God's people and we were not. We were separated. The peace you'll see between Gentiles and Jews will only be with those who've accepted Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of their souls. You know, as long as America claimed and lived as a nation under God, we supported and protected God's people, the Jews, because Jesus took that wall down. As believers in him, we're God's people. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, the Bible says. The wall was taken down that night in Bethlehem when Jesus was born, totally annihilated when he died on the cross for our sins. The peace made known at Jesus' birth is the same peace that he promised as he faced his death. The 14th chapter of John is a chapter of comfort and the promise of peace. At the Last Supper, when Jesus was with his disciples, he begins with the much-loved verses, Jesus preached peace as he faced death, John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye you may be also. So what is the thing people worry and get upset about the most? Death. Death. We want to go to heaven, but we don't want to die. Oh, you might say, I'm not dying to get there, but yeah, you might, unless you go in a rapture. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Facing death is the greatest thing to cause people not to have peace. Only if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior are you going to have peace facing death. It should not worry or upset us at all. He said he has a place for us. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. He's going ahead to prepare that place. I mean, this is the night he's going to be taken. This is the night that he's going to be arrested and begin to go to the cross. Yes, this world is anything but peaceful. And the world Jesus was born into was very far from peaceful. We see hate, upheaval on all sides. Joseph and Mary did not have an easy trip or a comfortable place to have their child. But oh, how God was in it all. Just as he is in America and in our world. And we can have peace in our hearts and lives because he is our peace. Out of the most desperate drama, peace can be born when Jesus is birthed on the scene. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's given us his peace. Take his peace into your heart, into your mind, knowing he gives this to you. Isaiah 26:3 tells us, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So as we celebrate Christmas this year, may we be mindful of his peace. He's given it to us, our Christmas gift from Jesus. Peace. Shalom. May God's word bless you today as we begin to enter into the time of the communion service. If the men that